1 Samuel, actually maybe 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel this morning. We've started kind of a little short series, and it's been on, I did a lesson, and it wasn't planning on being a series, and I just talked about the people around people. And I don't know, it's not a very good title for a series, but I started off with the people around Samuel and how they impacted him, and then I went to the people around David. And he found both of them had a mix of people around them. And that's very important that you have the good influences. You're going to have the bad influences. There is no way on the planet to separate yourselves from bad influences unless you live in an island all by yourself. The devil will find someone to send to you. It doesn't matter. I've seen people who do everything under the sun. You know, I just got back from Haiti, and we're on Haitian time. I call it Haitian time. The service, by the time it's done, everybody gets there. But I brought it back with me. I've seen people who try their very hardest not to let bad influences. The devil's going to send somebody. I was laughing. I was talking to some Filipinos, and they said, we have 7,000 islands. I said, I want to buy an island. And they said, because everything in the Philippines is so cheap, they said, you could probably find one to buy. I said, I want to buy an island, Byram Island. I can just go there whenever I want. How many would like to have your own island? That'd be awesome. Just go there. One of them, she was a real joker. She actually works for the UN in Haiti, and she told me, she says, there's an island that they'll probably sell you for real cheap, they said, but it disappears half of the day. And whenever the tide changes, it's underwater. I said, I'll go for that. Also, just make me a bubble, and I just walk in and stare at the fish in my little island, and nobody bothers me while I'm underwater. That has nothing to do with the message. But we're talking about bad influences. They're always there, and you can try your hardest. And I think you can limit it tremendously. I don't think you can do it with being in this world. Jesus prayed for us to keep us from the evil of the world, but he says not to take him out of it all, or not to keep him from seeing any evil or being around it, because you have to take him all together out of the world in John 17. And so you're going to have the bad influences. It just depends on if you let the bad influences ruin you. David had Saul chasing them for years and years and years. Luckily, David didn't become bitter and let the bad influence ruin him. Samuel is brought up around Eli's sons, but yet Eli's sons weren't the ones who impacted him. You gotta be very careful, and not let who is around you ruin you, because most of my jobs I've worked at, and they're all since I've been saved, were around rough people. Construction workers, dock hands, the mechanics, these guys, they aren't actually normally praising God. Worshiping the Lord when they slam their fingers and other things. They speak in tongues, but they're known tongues. It's not pretty. And I've been around bad influence. And the radio at work. Bad. I mean, it's terrible. Even though the bad influences come in, you decide how they impact you. And you try to outweigh them with good influences. And you're crazy if you on purpose bring bad influences around you. Because you're going to have enough bad influence without trying. You'll walk in the supermarket to buy a can of pop, and you'll get bad influences in the check stand line. That's just the world you live in. They're everywhere. And so we're talking about the influences around people. Today we're going to talk about, but Amnon had a friend. And 2 Samuel chapter 13. It says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. All right, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about Amnon had a friend. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word, and thank you for the word of God. Thank you. It gives us the answers. Thank you. It gives us insight into life. Lord, that's one of the things that shows us is the true word of God, is that 3,000 years after something's written, it's still practical and taught in such a way and written in such a way that it still applies to us today. We see this very true, very clear, very often in life, Lord, and with these things. And Father, I pray we'd have the good influences on us and we'd learn how to be impacted in a good way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jesus, if you said, I would love to be in a perfect atmosphere where no one would ever draw me down or I wouldn't have any bad influence, I would too. You say, what if I just hung around Jesus? You'd be around Judas Iscariot. And he was the betrayer who wasn't saved, who was stealing money. And Peter wasn't always the best of guys either during that time. Later, he turned out okay, but he was a little impulsive and a little obnoxious sometimes, and he got those bad influences. Yet here is a man, Amnon, and David had several wives, and Amnon, he fell in love with his stepsister, you would call it, different mom, same dad, and so he. We're in 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel 13, and so he was upset, he was frustrated, he was angry, he was couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, didn't feel good, everything was wrong with him, and he's very upset, and nothing's bad so far, but it says, Amnon had a friend, and that's the way God phrased it, verse 3, but Amnon had a friend. And his name was Jonadab. And Jonadab was what the Bible calls a subtle man. Well, let's see. You who know your Bible, who else was subtle in the Bible? The devil. The devil was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he was very crafty in the Bible. That's the word means like the devil. He taught him how to do evil things. And he said, well, if you really want her and love her. First of all, Tamar was a very thoughtful young lady. What happened is she said, Jonadab said, you know what, act like you're sick and then ask David to send her to be the one to feed you. And then you can take advantage of her when she's in your room, was the basic thought. And he did so, and she came to take care of him. And she was, he tried to take advantage of her and tried to do bad things. She says, no, this is wicked. You can't do this thing. And she says, you know what? Just ask David and he'll give you to me. So, because we won't bring shame on the family and we can do that. At least she said, you know, let's not ruin this thing. Let's not do this. But he raped her. He said, no. And I always said, when somebody's afraid to talk to their authorities about what they want and what they want to do, there's something wrong there. Whenever you run from godly authorities, or you run from the people God put in your life, because the powers that be are ordained of God, he need to talk to his dad about it. And if you're afraid to talk to the people that God puts in your life, your authorities, that means it's wrong. That's why I don't want to talk to them. And by the way, you know, in my father-in-law was backslidden, alcoholic, and not a good man at the time. Do you know my wife, before I dated her, made me go talk to him? I had to go to the unsaved guy. No, he was saved. I'm sorry. He's a very backslidden. By the way, argued with me, couldn't believe. He thought I was taking his daughter to crazy land. He thought we were nuts. He used to argue with me about witnessing and everything else. Now, he's a backslidden Christian. Got away from God, and it was still away from God and for many, many decades. And was not a spiritual man, and arguing with me, saying that we were crazy, and our church was a little too serious about serving God, a little too far out there, and I had to go to him and say, "Can I date your daughter?" And he said yes, luckily, but I slipped him a 20, but you know, that's what you do with unsaved people, I had to go talk to him. And by the way, that was wise of her. That was God's authority in her life. And by the way, I had to get pastor's approval too. And pastor knew me, and he liked what I was. And that's important. And by the way, she went to her pastor and said, what men do you approve in the youth group? Because we had a lot of exceptional men in our youth group, good guys. And she went to him and said, who do you approve? And she's very wise. He only approved two of the men. The rest of them are good guys. Some of those guys are missionaries. Some of those guys are in the ministry right now. They're good guys, but they weren't for her. And he saw that. My wife's a very, very, very strong woman who needs a very, very strong man. to marry. Otherwise, she would dominate or have a problem, tempted to run over him and control him. And she was very, you don't think she's like that because she's a good Christian and controls it. But my wife is very strong. And my kids are very strong. And if I was weak, my wife would chase me with a rolling pin and make me do what she wanted to do, and she would run the show, and it wouldn't be God's plan, because that's not God's plan, it never is. And don't get me started. That's something to do with this guy had a bad friend. He didn't talk to his dad about it. He didn't take her up on the offer to talk to David about it. Then he raped her, and then he hated her afterward. More than he loved her, he hit her with more hatred than he had for love for her. He got the idea of what to do from a bad friend. He hadn't thought of that idea. He hadn't planned it out. A lot of times, infatuation and those things pass away. You at some point were probably infatuated with somebody when you were in fifth grade, and you thought the whole world was going to end if you weren't their girlfriend or boyfriend. And then you got a little older and you realized it was just a little puppy love that didn't last very long. And his infatuation may have left. He might have done something stupid. And sometimes it led to a big mess. Incest in the family. David's other son ended up killing him and murdering him. And he had murder in his own family. It was a big mess. Why? Because he had a friend who influenced him in a bad way. And it was a subtle friend. It's not good. The Bible says be simple concerning evil. You're supposed to be innocent. If you find someone who gives you ideas and plants things in your head of how to do bad things, then get away from them. And there are people like that. You know, there are people you'll meet who all they do, I mean, their mind constantly is bent towards backsliding, and there's a phrase in Jeremiah, bent towards backsliding, and all they do is come up with ideas of how to get away with doing wrong. And tell you about how they can get away with it and tell you all these things. That's not a good influence. If their mind tends toward that thing, then their mind is bent towards backside, and then that's not somebody you want to be around. And this guy had a way to get this person to do the bad things. Your friends can make or break you. They can be your best or the worst things in your entire life. Let's go to Proverbs and read about friends a little bit here. Proverbs 18. I know a couple guys, both of them grew up in a good home, good Christian home. One of them has been a good guy, been a pastor for many years, and one of them is in the world and in sin. The only difference between those two guys, I knew them both, talked to them both. One guy always thought that he could hang around the unsaved and the lost and the immoral to reach them. He was trying to reach them. And the other one decided that he would separate himself from them and try to reach them from the outside. And the one who decided to separate himself, as the Bible says, reached them and reached many more thousands of people, is doing good. The other one's in the world right now and not a good Christian. Who your friends are make or break you, and we'll teach you about that. By the way, I think you can be around the unsaved and reach them and do it wisely, but you got to do it the biblical way, they cannot be your companions. That's unbiblical. You know, supposed to be the companions. And there's a couple verses on this. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. He that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The right kind of friend will be there for you in all situations and all times. Look at Proverbs 17 and 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So a friend can love you and be there and be close. And by the way, everybody quotes that verse. That's Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The context is not Jesus. That's not the context of this verse. The context of all Proverbs is not Jesus. The context here is very simply, a good friend will stick closer to you than a brother will stick to you. That's true. You'll find out your family will abandon you, but your best friend won't. Friendship is actually stronger than family. Go to the jail. You'll find their friends are visiting and their families aren't. A good friend, a real friend, will always be there for you. Your family members may not, because you may not be friends with your family. Now, I want you to be friends with your family and your family to be stick closer than a brother. But just because you're a family does not mean you're friends. How many know some families who aren't friends? How many have family members who aren't friends with you? Okay? That's That just shows you, and they might not stick with you. And so the friendship is important. It's a very powerful, deep relationship, your friends, and when you get latched to somebody. Proverbs 13 and verse 20 shows about who you hang around. Proverbs 13, 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners. So it says, here's what God says, shall be done. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a sure promise, it's guaranteed. If you walk with wise people, you are going to be wise. That's God's promise. If you hang around fools, you will be destroyed. That's what it says. And so we need to understand who we hang around determines what we become and how God treats us and how our lives turn out by who we hang around. And that comes in a lot of different ways, who you hang around, and we'll get to that a little later. It can bring shame to your family, who you hang around. Proverbs 28. It can bring shame to your family. Proverbs 28 and verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. Shameth his father. If you've lived long or watched people much or been involved in life much, you've seen the child who is bringing shame and heartbreak to his parents. And it says it's by hanging around righteous people. Partiers is we would phrase that in our vernacular. It can bring shame to your family. It can corrupt you, who you hang around. 1 Corinthians, and you don't have to turn to all these. So you can write them down. Or you can look at them on your own. Either way is fine with me. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. The word communication means your companionships. Evil companionship corrupt good manners. The word manners means moral habits. If you've, if you've watched people, you've seen a good kid, a nice kid, a kid with a good heart and everything else start hanging around the wrong crowd. And suddenly that kid is back talking their mom and dad. Suddenly they're dressing different. Suddenly they're talking different. Suddenly their mouth is filthy. Suddenly they're rebellious. And now they're ruining their life. Now they're doing bad in school. And there is nothing else in their entire life except for they changed who they hung around. How many of you, it's a hard question to ask you, but I'll ask you, how many of you, your life was messed up by bad friends? How many in this room? Raise your hand a little higher. We're not going to know who bad friends are. Look at that. That is half the crowd. Half the crowd. And half the crowd, and some, you were messed up by bad friends. And some of you, I know your stories, really messed up. Really messed up by bad friends. Now, there's a foolish thing people say. Oh, people don't affect me, and peer pressure doesn't affect me. And that is such a lie. There are people who are given. Some people are profoundly affected by peer pressure, and some aren't as affected. I am not as affected by peer pressure. I'm a loner. However, I'm affected by it. When I was in the dock and the bad music was blaring and the guys were cussing and talking about what they're doing to the girlfriends in the bar last night, things that were in my mind were worse than things that are in my mind this morning. Okay? Did it make me cuss and go get drunk and go to the bar with them? No. But did it plant a lot of seeds? Well, they already planted when I was a kid when I wasn't saved, but it brought back a lot of bad things that I didn't want brought back. And who you hang around has a profound impact, and there's a lot of things that I'd never done if I wouldn't have hung around people doing those things. I didn't take drugs when I was in my third grade because I went seeking them because they were in my house with my brother. And then I didn't start drinking when I was in fifth grade because I went to the liquor store. It's because my neighbor's dad was an alcoholic and loved to see us get drunk. And I shouldn't have been hanging around that house, but I didn't know any better. And bad home, bad things. A lot of bad things happen there. It corrupts you. It's bad for you. A good friend can change your life and save you. The Bible says that Jonathan loved David as his own soul and rescued him from death. A good friend, God can use to transform your life and be a blessing. And by the way, the number one thing you need the right friend in is your spouse. That's the number one thing. You need to marry someone who is your friend and who's a good influence on you. the devil will and the world will have a very hard time ruining you if you and your spouse are united as best friends and are good influences on each other. It's very hard to influence you for bad. Of course, anybody can backslide, but boy, you've got a strong, strong chain holding you to God. The person you're married to, if they are your friend and they're influencing you good, but you want to have those good friends. Amnon had a friend, and it ruined his life, and ended up getting him killed, involved in incest, all kinds of bad stuff, and it was bad. Be a companion, and a good word in the Bible to use is the word is companion. Okay, now you would find that if you went with me in a week, you'd find me around some bad people. Okay, what we call bad people, and I'm using that phrase just so you know what I'm saying. I know we're all fallen, we're all sinners. I know that. But you'd find me around some people that you wouldn't want to hang around. We'll say, might be in jail, might be in a rough neighborhood, might be in a drug house. You'll find me in those places with those people. I might take them out to coffee, but they aren't my companions. My companions are my buddies. That's who I hang around. That's my best friends. Those are the people I am with. Your companion is never supposed to be an ungodly person. I might walk in here to the world, grab a person in the world that said, come out with me. I'm going to go in there. I might run into a smoking on fire house to rescue somebody, but I'm not going to live in a smoking on fire house. Okay? I'm going to go in there and go out of there. So Jesus was a friend of sinners, but he was impacting them and bringing them out. He wasn't hanging out there with them and staying with them. He was having an impact on them. I think that a Christian can get in a bad way separated where they're not reaching people anymore, where they can't talk to the average person. The average person doesn't understand them. They don't relate to the average person. And so the person doesn't think that they're not the Jew to the Jew and the Gentile and the barbarian to the barbarian and all the things. They aren't relating to them. And they're too far separated where they don't even go into there. And I think that's bad too. Our church believes in separation and holiness and clean families and all that stuff very, very, very much. But our church also believes in very strong evangelism. But we walk up and down Pack Highway, and interesting people walk down Pack Highway. And we witness to them. And they come into our church. And we have ladies of the night come into our church. And you know what? We're glad to have them. And we want to impact them. However, we're not going to hang around them all day. Once they start wanting to turn around, we'll become their companions. When they're growing, we'll disciple them, we'll help them grow. So you understand, you're not going to reach your friends by staying best friends with them. If you take poison water, if you take poison, you take water, you mix them together, you don't get clean water. You get poisoned water. Okay? And you get dirty clothes and you rub them together with clean clothes, you don't get two sets of clean clothes. Okay? You separate. And then you're strong enough to go into the world and grab them and bring them out. And your companion should not be a bad influence on you. You following me? Amen? Y'all awake? All right, good. All right. Be friends. Be companions with those who are laboring for God. A couple of verses in New Testament here we'll go to. And a couple of those things. Philippians chapter 2. We're supposed to be different. And verse 25, it says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier and your messenger." He's my brother and my companion in ministry. That's a good thing. Brother and companion with them. And you want to be those kind of with those kind of people. And John says in Revelation 1:9, he says, my companion and fellow laborers in the kingdom of God. He says, you're my companions. You're the ones who are serving Jesus with us. Be friends also with those who will tell you the truth. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. And verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's such a funny verse. A wound from a friend. Your friend goes, all right, come here. All right. And it's a good thing. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend will wound you sometime. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That is a good friend if they will wound you, but they're good wounds because they love you and they're trying to help you. And And verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Paul says, be careful of those who flatter with their tongues. Okay? A good friend will let you have it. What are you doing? You know better than that. That's wicked. That's wrong. They wound you. They tell you, knock it off. That's okay. That's a good friend. And can I say something to you nice people? The two of you in here. To you nice people, is there certain people who are so nice, they don't want to hurt anybody? And I love those people. They're so sweet and they're so nice and they always want to be an encouragement, and that's wonderful. But if you can't wound somebody, it's wrong. If you can't go up to somebody, and you might be shaking, you might be scared, you might be crying before you do it, you might hate it, but you got to conquer yourself. And nice people got to learn to say, you know what? That's wrong. And by the way, you'll have more impact than the mean people do because you shock them when you do it. You nice people. And I'm not one of them. I hate conflict. You wouldn't believe that from when I preach. I'm different from here than I am normally. I take mean juice before I preach. I do not like conflict at all. I'm God's spokesman, so I'll just say what he says, and it's him. In my nature, it's not like that. I will give in before I'll have a conflict normally. I just, you know what, if you want to fight, you know, go outside, I'll meet you in 5 minutes. If not there, start without me. I don't want to fight. I don't want conflict. I don't like conflict. But sometimes I have to go up and say, this is wicked. This is wrong. It's going to ruin your life. You shouldn't be doing that thing. And you've got to be able to do that to people because a friend does that. A friend can't watch his friend destroy their life and not say anything. That's not a real friend. Now, a fake friend can. A fake friend will tell you, everything you do is good. And they'll flatter you, and they'll do that. Be friends with them who will tell you the truth. If you give yourself four or five good friends who are going to tell you when you're doing wrong, so one of them's going to catch you. And that's good. And they'll tell you, and that's a good thing. By the way, Bible says, rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Rebuke a fool, and he'll hate you. And I can tell you whether the Bible calls you a wise man or a fool by how you take rebuke. If you can't take rebuke, the Bible says you're a fool, which means you don't care about the truth. You just want to do what you want to do. That's what God says. But if you rebuke a wise man, the Bible says they will love you. Now, for 5 seconds, they're going to say, how dare you? And they call you back and say, you know what, you're right. And that's what a wise man does. So you want to have friends that are like that, friends who will tell you the truth. All the difference in my life, I truly believe I got saved. I got saved and had a ton of bad friends. The only thing that really helped me a lot was I lived in you call it a middle-class neighborhood that just got built, huge neighborhood, and a huge subdivision, and everybody, all the parents were the same ages. And so all of us kids were the same ages. And so we had a whole ton of teenage kids together, and we all hung around together, knew each other, and we all got in trouble. There wasn't a good kid in the lot. We were all troublemakers, all of us. And then my neighbor across the street, which was Roman, he got saved. And he knew he couldn't hang around his friends anymore. Roman's a pastor now in Vancouver, Washington. And he knew he couldn't hang around his friends anymore. He said, I'm going to witness to all my friends, and they're either going to get saved or they're going to quit hanging around me because they're going to witness to him so much. Pretty smart thing to do. And so he did that. He witnessed to me. He didn't know. Him and I had run from police together. I mean, we had been in so much trouble together. We were the kids that even the bad kids in the neighborhood, their parents said, don't hang around those two. We were the worst kids in the neighborhood. And we were bad. And he got saved. And he didn't know I wanted to be saved, but I was wanting to go to heaven my whole life. I wondered if I was going to heaven. I was hungry for God. And I had no dad at home. I had a mom who was never at home. I was just a rowdy kid with no discipline, with no spankings, with no anything, no punishment at all. I just did whatever I did whatever I wanted to do, which means a child left to himself comes to destruction, the Bible says. So I was in all kinds of trouble. But really, I wanted to be a good Christian. I wanted to know God. I wanted to be saved. Problem is, no Christians ever witnessed to me. And first person who was going to witness to me, I'd have gotten saved. 6 years old, 10 years old, 15 years old, didn't matter. First person to witness to me, I was going to get saved. I was ready. By the way, that's what we're looking for. We don't know if that rowdy kid is really hungry for God. We don't know. You can't judge by looking at him. You just got to go talk to everybody until you find the ones God's prepared and they want to get saved. And so he came witness to me. I got saved. He was shocked. I was shocked he was saved because the rest of the neighborhood was shocked because he was terrible. And we got saved. We started getting hunger for God. We started studying our Bibles every night. We started memorizing scripture. We did everything together. We started growing and learning like crazy, but I still had all my bad friends. And we still live in the same neighborhood, so they always came by and grabbed me, and I didn't know yet that I shouldn't hang around them. I wasn't going to church very much yet. I was just kind of studying the Bible with him, and I was growing, but boy, I had all those bad friends. I remember one day we went in the car together and a big old bunch of us. I remember where it was, Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, Oregon. I drove up off Beaver Creek Road, went up, and I was just hanging around these guys. And, you know, just it was summer, nothing to do. We went up to one house, and they went up in there and bought pot from the guy. And I thought about going to that house again. And they had a pot field behind the house, and knocking on the door. And I thought, as a prophet, you know, God told me you have a pot field behind your house. And we went, and they bought the pot, and then they had it in the car, and they were going to go smoke it. I said, I'm not going to smoke this stuff with you. And then somewhere they went to somebody's house and got beer. And then I hear him in the car. Oh, no, I remember I was sitting in the car. I was in the back seat against the window, right side. And somebody came with a bunch of beer, a whole big case of beer. And they started handing it out. They handed it to me. I handed it to the guy next to me. He handed it to the guy next to him. He hands it to me. Handed the guy next to me. Hands it to me. I handed the guy next to me again. Hands it to me again. Handed the guy next to me again. Keep handing it. I'm not going to take it. I keep on handing it. These guys are all holding like five beer in their hand. And the guy's not paying attention, wondering why. I think he was drunk. He wondered why I don't have any beer, and he keeps handing me any. Give him any beer. You know, I was around the wrong crowd. And they go, what are you doing? I said, I don't drink beer anymore. And they said, come on, get rid of that religious stuff. Just drink a beer. It's no big deal. And I did. I wouldn't have if I wouldn't have been around that crowd. I brought him around last week and did it again. No, I didn't. But I did that. Is that terrible? I shouldn't joke like that, should I? I'm wicked. I still got that bad nature. I got bad friends. And it was the Haitians who did it to me. But I went and there I was wanting to serve God, wanting to be a good Christian. But sitting in the car with a bunch of guys drinking beer, pretty tough. I didn't have that temptation at church. Because I was around the right crowd. And so who you hang around impacts you. Fortunately, I started hanging more and more around Roman and less and less around them. By the way, a couple of them got saved. Praise the Lord. Came to church with us. And some turned out, some didn't. But you know what? I started hanging around the right crowd. And fortunately, I had a good friend who was a really good, profound friend. And he kept me on the right track. And he was around the right crowd. We two separated from the whole crowd. And then all the parents said, don't hang around them. They're religious nuts. And they just didn't like us for some reason. And we would witness all those kids. And we were so on fire for God and doing things for God that they just knew, don't even bother those guys. They aren't going to do it. That's good. Temptation all went away because we separated ourselves. And biblical separation will do that for you. It helps you. Thank God that I had a good friend that I could hang around. Because if I had to hang around my bad friends, I wouldn't be here today. If I did not have a good friend to get around, and praise God for that. Next, be a friend to those who have been you or your family's friend. Proverbs 27. Be a good friend. I want you to become a good friend. Proverbs 27 and verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother afar off. Start of that verse says, thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Your own friend, don't forsake him. Somebody who's been a friend for you. So if Roman needed me today, I mean literally today, if he called me and said, I need you today, I wouldn't be at church tonight. I'd be down there. I'd be there for him. He was there for me. He witnessed to me. He was there for me through all my trials as a young Christian. He used to wake me up in the morning to go to church and was good influence on me. I'm going to be there. I'm not only good friends never leave you. Okay. Jonathan left his throne so David could have it. He gave it up to David. He said, "You're my friend. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to save you." If he wouldn't have done that, he could have let David be killed, and he would have got the throne from his dad. But he was a good friend. A good friend will never leave you, even when you mess up. Let me explain this. If I'm your friend, if you mess up and don't serve God, I'm still your friend. I might not be your companion, but I'm your friend. And you'll find that I'll be there for you. Doesn't matter what you do. You might be foolish, might ruin your life, but real friends are always there. A friend loveth at all times, the Bible says. A real friend. Now, when you get a bunch of money, you'll find out you have a lot of friends. But you won't have a lot of real friends. Find out who your real friends are, and then when they need you, you be there for them. Because real friends are always there for their friends. If someone's been good to you, you better be there for them. You better be the friend that they need. Be a friend. And then it says, your father's friend, forsake not. That's how deep friendship goes. Your dad had a friend. Your dad might not even be alive anymore, but that's your dad's friend, and he was a friend to your family. How many of you had a friend to your family, to your parents, that helped your family when you guys needed help? Raise your hand. Okay? Biblically, you need to be a friend of that person. And if they need anything, you're their friend. And you're there and be a friend. Because friendship is very profound and very deep, and it's always there. That's why you don't make friends of the wrong people. And you're not companions of them. Be friends with the best friends. Be friends with the best friend. I'm going to read you there's a couple of verses I can read to you, but I'll read it at James 2. For he shall have judgment without mercy. That's not the right verse. James 2:23, there it is. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Here's the thing. You might not have a real friend on earth. Now, hopefully, your parents are your friends, your brothers are your friends, your sisters are your friends. Hopefully, all that's true. Hopefully, you have a pastor who's your friend. Hopefully, you have some Christians around that are friends. But the sad thing is, as humans are fallen creatures. And you might think you have a friend, and your friend messes up. That's why, ultimately, your best friend ought to be God. Abraham is called a friend of God. And if God is your friend, you know what God's going to do, because I'm the Lord, I change not. God never changes. He will always be a friend who's there for you. He'll always be after the prodigal. People let you down. Sometimes you'll be shocked. The person you thought, and the person who was your friend and was a real friend, maybe gets away from God, maybe dies. And you lose your friend that you was always there for you. If you don't ultimately have God as your friend, you can really go for a loop when you lose your other friends that were real friends. You'll find times in your life where all of your friends fail you. Happened in Psalms a lot. They talked a lot about that. When my friends forsake me, the Lord will take me up. And you will find, or even somebody who is your friend maybe won't be able to be there for you. They won't understand, or maybe they're moved, or whatever. You've got to have God be your friend. And reverse-wise, if God's your friend to you, you need to be a friend to God. Because a lot of people aren't God's friends. I want to say, God is everybody's friend. But very few people are God's friend. Very simply, a friend loves at all times. Most Christians don't love God at all times. When life goes wrong and they get angry at God and say, I'm not going to serve you anymore. You're not a friend of God. You like him. You want the blessings from him, but you're not his friend. You ever think about how God has broken friendships all the time? He's always there for everybody, and people just abandon him as soon as he blesses them for 50 years, and all of a sudden, the 51st year, something bad happens to them, and all of a sudden, you're no friend to God. God needs real friends. Friends like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. A lot of people aren't God's friend. God's a good friend to them, but they're not a good friend back. Some people just decide, you know what, God, I love you. I'm never going to stop loving you. And I don't, no matter what, if I'm a cripple, if everybody I love dies, Lord, I'm still going to be there for you. You deserve that. You were there for me. You died on the cross for me. I'm going to be your friend. and I'm going to stick with you no matter what happens in life, instead of reanalyzing your relationship and whether you're going to follow God when things go good or bad or when churches go bad. The church is full of hypocrites. I'm not going to go to church anymore. You're not a friend of God. Somebody offended me. You're not a friend of God. You should be God's friend. God should say, you know what? You're going to be there for me. I know that. You're my friend. And God says, I'm glad I have some real friends out there. Jesus, when he went to the cross, found out he didn't have a whole lot of friends. He had his mom. Well, moms were always there. And he had Mary Magdalene. She was a friend. She was there when he's down on the cross. But not a lot of friends. Be a friend. And one person once said, blessed is the man who has a friend. More blessed is the man who has a friend and is a friend. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with being like God and being a friend to a lot of people who aren't friends back. I do it all the time. I will be there for somebody, and in their darkest hour, I'll be there for them. And whenever their needs are there, and when they're messed up and in sin in the world, I'll help them. But then when we need them, or I forget to say hi to them, they're offended or they leave or something, that's okay. You be a friend to people who need friends. Don't expect that much in return. Make God your friend. You have him as your friend if nobody else returns the friendship. Learn to be a good friend. Don't let them abuse you and use you and misuse you, but love them and be that kind of friend. And let me say lastly, if you're going to be friends and pick your friends, which you should be doing, picking your friends, and ask God to give you a good friend if you don't have one, don't be friends of the world. James 4. Yikes, I'm over on time. Don't be friends of the world. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. God says, you can't be friends with me in the world. It's like saying, John, I know this guy killed your whole family. I'm going to go visit him in jail. He's my best friend. You're my best friend too. Somebody right here. And the Bible says you can't be friends with this world and God's friend. God says it's my enemy. And he says, and so don't be friends of the world. Be friends with God's kingdom, God's people and church, and be friends with him. And pick your friends wisely, because Amnon had a friend, and it destroyed his life. And he planned some bad things. But they're fun to hang around, and I don't want to seem mean to them. They might destroy your life. Then once you get out of their influence and you become godly and strong, you're now strong enough to run to that house and pull them out of the fire. But hanging around them in the fire and the smoke for 2 days isn't going to do it. You're not going to survive yourself. Have the right kind of friend and make sure you get the right kind of people around you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to teach you on friendship in the Bible and companionship. Lord, thank you for good friends. And may we find our good friends and thank them for being a friend. May we go and may we be friends with you above all. And Lord, help us not to be ruined by having bad friends. Please, Lord, help us. And help us to be around those people, even if they're not the funnest, that are the best influences, Lord. Thank you for this warning about the people around us and about friendship. Help us to be able to claim, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, not a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Help us be wise and to claim these things. In Jesus' name, their heads bowed, our eyes are